Our text this morning would be the first three verses of Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire, and set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. This week has been one of contrast for me. On Tuesday and Wednesday, I worked on the tiny Orkney island of Shapensee. And on Friday, I worked in London. You won't get anything more extreme than Shapensee and London. In London, I was doing a home visit in Abbey Road and crossed over the zebra crossing next to the Beatles recording studio. No matter how much I fly, I always find it an awesome experience. There was a period of 3 years when I worked in Northern Ireland every week, and I used to fly every week, and it still is an awesome experience. When I flew to Orkney over the frozen, snowy highlands, the mountains, and the frozen rivers, and the lochs that were white and frozen, it was just amazing and so beautiful. And it's so easy just to pray to God in that situation. All you want to do is kind of open your heart to God. I was reading the newspaper on that flight, and there was a little quote from someone with an even bigger view of the world in the paper, a more awesome view. It was from the astronaut Scott Kelly, who is commander of the International Space Station orbiting the Earth. And he said last week, "As I look out of the window, I see a very beautiful planet that seems very inviting and peaceful." And then he adds, "Unfortunately, it is not." See, Commander Kelly is the brother-in-law of Gabrielle Giffords, the American politician who was shot and injured, and seriously injured, in a shop in Arizona this past week, where several people were also killed. The media were quick to tell us that the little girl who died had been born on 9/11. And so Commander Kelly tells us that the world is not beautiful, and it is not inviting, and it is not peaceful. If you read newspapers or listen to radio news or watch News 24 that goes on endlessly, you might agree. Do you not feel that the news is utterly depressing? We hear of murder and violent crime, of floods and mudslides, of addictions and economic decline, of corruption and war. God has lifted us out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire, and set our feet on a rock. And yet we are constantly told that the world is a dark place, and our spirits can be sucked down into that darkness and despair. A rock can be shaken. The media revels in bad news. We were told a few days ago that 500 blackbirds fell from the sky in Louisiana. There followed stories of 50 jackdaws found dead in a street in Sweden. And then 2 million spotfish found dead on a shoreline in Maryland. An article pointed out that these events are not linked, but similar scenarios across the world are adding to the mystery. No, they are not adding to the mystery. Such events have explanations. Such events have occurred throughout history. They are not new. God created our world and everything in it, and he is still in control. There is great beauty in the world. Most of the people in the world are ordinary, decent individuals getting on with their lives. There are many more acts of kindness and love and caring in our world than acts of evil and cruelty. Christians around the world are carrying out small miracles every day as they follow in the footsteps of Jesus. The church is growing all over the world, and more people are being pulled from the mire every day. These positive things do not make headlines and do not sell newspapers. Of course, we must be made aware of those in need in the world and the suffering and the injustice that goes on, so that we can lift people up in prayer so that we can send help and support agencies, so that we can give and share. But do not be afraid in these days. Stand firm. Trust in God and in Jesus Christ, who redeemed you. Julian of Norwich was a deeply Christian woman who committed her whole life to prayer and to worship. And she famously said hundreds of years ago, "All will be well, and all will be well, and all things will be well." I hope that you believe that all will be well for you in Christ. I hope that your feet are set on a rock today and that you stand firm. Paul wrote that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord. Those who have been found by Christ have been pulled from their own slimy pit, from their sin and their despair. And yet we have a tendency to slip back into the mud. At times we let negativity control us. We feel overwhelmed by waves of guilt from a past that we cannot forget, or from ongoing sin that we cannot control. Andre spoke last week about the baggage we carry around with us, the baggage of past sin, like stuff in a suitcase, a very heavy suitcase. God has forgiven us for all that we have confessed to him. He does not hold it against us, but we still like to revisit it and wallow in the mud of self-pity and doubt at times, and we need to cut loose the baggage. A former colleague, Norman Drummond, calls this letting go of the guards van. Norman is an ordained Church of Scotland minister, and he had a varied career, including an army chaplain, headmaster at Loretto School, where I worked with him for a while, BBC governor, and recently now a life coach, inspiring people to achieve their potential and develop leadership skills, especially from underprivileged backgrounds. Norman wrote in a book that he finds many people are weighed down by the baggage of the past. Their fears, regrets, guilt and shame are like a millstone around their necks. They have done something they are ashamed of and they cannot let go, and he calls this the guards van. If life were a train, this would be the van at the back, carrying all sorts of odds and ends, trailing along wherever the rest goes. A large part of the journey, for many of us, would be spent revisiting the guards van to remind ourselves of the contents. There's an old film called Northwest Frontier, in which the characters are taking a train across a desert. Kenneth Moore plays the hero, helping a small group of people, mainly women and children, out of a hostile situation. But the train is too heavy to go on. So Kenneth Moore climbs down behind the train, behind the last carriage, and it's the usual scene of him, is he going to fall, is he going to survive, is he going to make it? And he uncouples the carriage at the back and lets it go. Unburdened, the train moves on much more freely and swiftly to its destination. So many of us need to let go of that guards van. We're dragging it around with us. Many find it hard to let go because we've been attached to that van full of misery for so long. But the sense of relief and freedom when we let it go is immense. If we allow ourselves to slip back into the mud, even if it is only up to our ankles, we need to remember that Christ gave his life for this very purpose, to lift us up, to give us a firm foundation, to invite us to share eternity with him. Keep your eyes firmly fixed on Jesus. Even Peter sank below the waves when he took his eyes off Jesus. In Matthew 14, we read that Peter stepped off the boat and he walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he began to hear the wind and take notice of the waves around him, he began to sink and he cried out to Jesus for help. And we're told that immediately Jesus reached out his arm and pulled Peter to safety. "You of little faith," he said, "why do you doubt?" Peter slipped back into the mud a few times, but Jesus was patient with him and succeeded in placing his feet on the rock, and Peter certainly sang a new song to God after Pentecost. And so the third verse of Psalm 40 came about. Because of Peter's witness and evangelism, many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Because Jesus does not put our feet on a rock and give us a firm foundation just for our own sakes. He also wants the world to hear that new song, the song that we sing, so that others too can be pulled from the mud and the mire. Psalm 40 is a psalm of evangelism. I'll finish by mentioning one of the strongest rocks of the 20th century church, Martin Luther King, because tomorrow is his birthday, and this is the Sunday when he is remembered around the world, and especially in the United States. Jesus put Luther King's feet firmly on a rock when he was 26 years old. And throughout his ministry, he was a light in dark places, seeking justice and equality for black people in a prejudiced society. For me, he preached an amazing sermon, not one that began, "I have a dream," but one in which he said, "Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will." And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain, and I've looked over and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know today that we as a people will get to that promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. The next day, Martin Luther King was assassinated. Luther King lived out the sentiments of Psalm 40. He waited patiently for the Lord and cried out to him for his people. His faith was a firm foundation for all he did. He sang a new song, a song of love and equality and brotherhood and sisterhood. And through his ministry, many saw and put their trust in the Lord. Amen.